To us from Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. We are going to begin reading at verse 26 and then read through verse 34 of this chapter. Luke 23, beginning at verse 26. What we hear now is God's word. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments." And here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, in spite of how the weather feels outside, it is springtime. And in spring, our thoughts turn toward the celebration of Easter and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We gather to commemorate his suffering and death. We gather to commemorate his resurrection, to help us to prepare for the celebration once again of what God has done in him, to help us to celebrate this morning as we come to the Lord's table. We will, for the next few weeks together, 4 weeks between now and the Sunday of Easter, we will spend time looking at the words of Jesus Christ, particularly those seven last words that he spoke from the cross in his suffering. Words that were heard by those around him, words directed to them and to God himself, and words that are instructive for us to remind us once again of the glory of redemption, of the miracle that was taking place as Christ, the mighty Maker, died for man, the creature's sin. This morning we look at that first word from the cross, the first word spoken by Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." The first word is a word of forgiveness. A word of forgiveness spoken by Jesus. When we think of who Jesus was, it's easy for us to think back before the incarnation. He was the one who was eternally God. He was the one who was co-eternal, coexistent with God from all time, enjoying fellowship with him. Here we have him incarnate, fleshly, speaking out of the agony of the cross, which makes the words all the more significant. Think of what Jesus had gone through. He had been arrested by the authorities. He had been falsely accused by those around him. His disciples were leaving him. He was betrayed by Peter, perhaps his closest friend. He was mocked by the guards. And in light of all of that oppression against him, everyone leaving him, it makes the words all the more significant that he would speak a word of forgiveness. He was unjustly condemned and unjustly accused. When we are unjustly accused, we quickly throw up our hands. "No, no, it wasn't me." We begin to defend ourselves. Jesus' words are not words of defense. But it's a word of forgiveness. Not a word spoken in retribution. Not a word of anger toward his accusers. But rather, Father, forgive them. It is a word spoken by Jesus, the condemned, the innocently prosecuted, and yet a word of forgiveness. It is a word spoken by Jesus to his Father. He had come to do the will of his Father. He had come to complete the task given to him by the Father, the task of securing redemption for all of his people. Yet it was a task he did not take lightly, but a task where he recognized the significance of what was going on. In fact, he prayed to the Father, if there is any other way this can happen, take this cup from me. But not my will, but your will, O God. And as the will of God is carried out in the life of Jesus, as he hangs there on the cross, once again this word, Father, forgive them. He doesn't curse the people around them. He doesn't curse God. Why are you doing this to me? Why couldn't it have been some other way? But he humbly, in love, submits himself to the will of the Father. We will see as we look through these words from the cross, at times he will address God simply as God, my God. He doesn't begin that way. He begins by speaking to his Father, the one who had given him a task. Father, forgive them. A word spoken by Jesus himself. A word spoken in love and in concern for those around him. Jesus' first word is not a word of self-pity. He doesn't, first of all, focus on himself and what is going on to him. He doesn't say, why is this happening to me? Why must I undergo this? In fact, the people who were following him, we read that there were he was followed by a great multitude of people and the women who were mourning and lamenting for him. And his response is, don't lament for me. Not a word of self-pity, of look what I'm going through. Don't lament for me, O daughters of Jerusalem. Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. This word is a word of concern for them. Don't lament about what I'm going through. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren. In Israel, to be barren, unable to have children, was a curse, not a blessing. They had that expectation that there would be this son of the woman who would strike the head of the serpent. And every woman had that expectation. Perhaps it will be my child. Perhaps the one I am bearing will be the one chosen by God. So to be barren, unable to have children, was a sign of God's curse against them. And yet Jesus says, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore. He warns them of this judgment to come. Don't weep for me, he says. Don't lament what I'm going through, but be concerned about yourselves. And then they will say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us, for the judgment of God would be so severe, they would prefer to be crushed by the rocks around them. No, it's a word spoken in love, not a word of self-pity, not a word of condemnation. We will see that Jesus on the cross takes on his lips the words of the Psalms. Jesus knew the Psalter. He knew the imprecations of the Psalms. Break the teeth of the wicked. Dash their infants against the rocks. But he doesn't take the imprecations. He doesn't take the maledictions. He doesn't take the curses on his lips. It is not condemnation for those around them, but rather a word of forgiveness. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. This first word of the cross has caused confusion by those of us who come later and study it. Is Jesus really telling God that he should forgive those who are crucifying him? They are carrying out the most heinous crime ever committed in the history of the world. Is it the case that Jesus really wants God to forgive these? These who were nailing him to the cross, these who were crucifying the Lord of life. What does he mean when he says, Father, forgive them? Were these people forgiven for this awful crime, for this sin they had done? Well, for us to understand the nature of this word of love, we have to understand how Luke uses the word forgiveness. What does Luke mean when in the gospel he talks about forgiveness? And interesting, Luke doesn't so much refer to the act of God by which people are forgiven. But when Luke talks about forgiveness, he uses the word in terms of the process that we go through. The process of acknowledging our sin and repenting of our sin. That's how Luke uses the word. And how he records what Jesus has said for us. Father, forgive them. Not simply blot out what they have done for something to you to do, God, but bring them to the place where they will recognize what they have done. Father, bring them to the place where they will acknowledge the sin they are now committing. This word of forgiveness is a word that they might come to repent of their sins, come to change their wicked ways, come to recognize what they have done. The process of recognizing their sin. Father, forgive them. And he continues, for they do not know what they do. They don't understand what's going on. They don't see the significance of their actions, that they are crucifying the Lord of life. They are following along with the crowd. They are following along after their leaders. But Father, forgive them. Bring them to recognize. They now don't know what they're doing. But bring them to recognize the significance and the depth of their sin. It's a word of forgiveness spoken by Jesus. It's a word spoken in love. It's a word spoken for those who were guilty. They did not know what they were doing. They did not know the significance of their action. And so Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He has said earlier, if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? In other words, if they do these things now, how much worse will it get in the future? Jesus speaks this word of forgiveness that gives encouragement that if they should come to recognize, if they should come to acknowledge their sin, that they not be overwhelmed with the depth of that sin. Can you imagine one of those who was there crucifying Jesus and then later hears the glories of the gospel, perhaps through the disciples or through one of the apostles or through someone else, and says, but I've crucified him. I was there. They can remember this word, a word of forgiveness for them. That if they should come to recognize their sin and recognize what they had done, that they might not be overwhelmed with despair, but they could remember that first word, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. They might claim later that they acted in ignorance, not recognizing who Jesus was. And this word was spoken for them. A word for the guilty. A word for those who were crucifying Jesus through their own actions. They did not know what they were doing. They did not know the significance of the act. We, who live on this side of the cross, know the story of Jesus. We know who He was. That He was God's one and only Son who came, sent from heaven, sent in the fullness of time to redeem a fallen, sinful people. We know His work. That His work on the cross was the way God had chosen to accomplish that redemption perfectly. They did not know what was going on. We know. We know what God was doing in the crucifixion of the Son of God on that terrible day. How do we respond? How do we respond to this record in Scripture of what God was doing through His Son, Jesus Christ? We know what was going on. Do we hear this word? Father, forgive them. Bring them to repentance and confession of sin. And do we act upon this word, this first word from the cross spoken by Jesus? Or do we continue to live in our sin in blissful ignorance, saying, oh, everything will go on as it always has? No, we recognize this word was spoken for them. It's a word spoken for us. To stop covering up our sin, to stop making excuses for our sin, but rather to acknowledge. They heard the word but didn't understand it. This morning we come and we hear God's word explained and we come to the table of the Lord, a visible expression of the suffering and death of Christ, His body, His blood given for us. Do we respond in ignorance saying, I don't really understand, I don't really know? Or do we confess? Do we acknowledge, this is for me? This is because of my sin. This is because of what I have done. And if we think that perhaps God couldn't forgive us for the sins we have done, our sins are particularly too heinous, this word was spoken for those who were crucifying Jesus. For those who were nailing Him to the cross. If this word of hope and this word of forgiveness could be true for them, it certainly is true for us. And we think that our particular sins are too great for God to forgive. No, on the cross, Jesus spoke this first word, Father, forgive them. We read that Jesus speaks the word, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. And they cast lots to divide His garments. Christ is being crucified. Christ is speaking to them a word of forgiveness. But the concern of those around Him were to take something physical from Him. They cast lots for His garments, for His clothes. They were concerned about getting their share of what was the physical remnants that Jesus brought with Him. Rather than being concerned about His clothes, His physical clothing, they should have been concerned. They should have been concerned that they be clothed not with His external garments, but with the garment of the righteousness of Christ. They should have fallen down as those who were guilty and repented of their sins and said, Lord, clothe me, cover me, not just with these garments You brought with You, but with the garments of Your righteousness. and your perfection. They were concerned to take away something physical. They should have been concerned for the spiritual covering that Jesus would provide. What do we leave with today? What do we take away from this service? Simply the physical elements of bread and wine, simply the physical experience? Or the knowledge and the assurance that this supper is a spiritual supper. And Christ is spiritually present in the elements of bread and wine, spiritually there, for our encouragement, for our comfort, for our assurance of what He has done. As we come together today to the table of the Lord, we take away not simply a small physical element of bread and wine, but we take away the blessing of the body and blood of Christ given for us, given for our sins, given for our assurance that we, although we are guilty, just as guilty as they were, we are covered by Christ's righteousness. We are blessed with all of His perfection credited to our account. And we are those who are then called to live in a way that brings honor and glory to Him. What do we leave with today? We have heard the word, a word of forgiveness, spoken by Christ who was unjustly condemned, spoken in love and concern for those around them, spoken that they might come to recognize their sin and embrace who He was. That is the same call that goes out today. If you have never acknowledged who Jesus was and what He did, that it was on your behalf, then today is the day to hear this word, to come to repentance and faith, to embrace Jesus Christ, to know the blessing of not being clothed with some external garments, but the blessing of putting on Christ and knowing the assurance of salvation. May God bless this word to our hearts and minds. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, how can we begin to praise You for the work of Your Son, Jesus Christ? He underwent such pain, such agony, in the midst of all that, was not concerned about Himself, did not wallow in self-pity, but rather spoke a word of forgiveness. Forgiveness for all who repent and believe. Lord God, work in our hearts today that we truly might repent of our sins, turn away from our shortcomings, and embrace this glorious word of Christ. That He suffered and died there, that we might know the truth of forgiveness, that we might be clothed with His righteousness. Bless us, O God, by the power of Your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.